Good afternoon, good morning, and good evening, Boketti Bible family. It's Brian and Bob with you again another week for our podcast. This is the week of May 17th, May 18th, and we are happy to be here. Brian, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Now that we've got power back, I'm doing much better, man. Yesterday was, yesterday afternoon and evening. It seems like every week we're getting hit with something like this, aren't we?
Yeah, the week before it was the internet outage, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was. I think it was on Wednesday. We were out most of the day, or I don't remember now. I don't want to remember.
Yeah, it's not too bad when the power is out during the day, but when it goes out at night, that gets old real fast.
Yeah. Well, and it cripples. You know, me having a power out. You know, that cripples trying to do anything. You know, well, I don't have. You know, at night. Well, I don't have. I don't have internet, you know, I can't work, I can't even go read a book real well, you know, because I don't have a good lighting system and all that. So it's just kind of like, I went to bed early.
Well, there's always contemplation, meditation. Amen. And contemplation. Amen. How about getting us started this morning with a prayer?
Sure, I'd love to. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this podcast. I thank you for this ministry that you've given Bob and I. I thank you for the series that we're in. And the way that you've led through this series, I do believe you have, and you've led Bob and I profoundly. I am so appreciative of the things you've shown us, and you always show us and teach us so much more than we get to show and teach everybody else on the podcast. But I'm grateful for your partnership here, and just working through this with Bob. Father, I thank you so much for Bob and his willingness to do this with me. This is fun. I do like this, and I enjoy this time, and I know lots of our family does as well. So. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We praise you. We ask this morning or this afternoon or this evening for whoever's listening. I just pray that you would speak through us. I pray that you would open the minds and the ears and the hearts of anybody listening. I pray that if there's any confusion on any of these remaining spiritual gifts, I pray that you would bring about clarity here. I think there's been some confusing gifts that we've talked about each week, and this week will not be exempt. There will be some this week as well. So I do pray that you would speak through us. I pray that anything that's of you, I pray that would stick. I pray that people would remember it. It would really resonate with them. And anything that's not of you, I pray that it would just kind of fall away. People would forget about it and really hone in on what you have. So Father, we commit it all to you. Ask you to speak through us, to give us your words, your wisdom, your perspective, your thoughts, your ideas, and your way of communicating. We love you so much. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, this week we're going to be looking at administration and the faith and service and helps. But before we do that, let's get up to date on anything that's happening within the church. I don't know of anything unusual. I mean, I'm reading that the second block they're looking at opening up a second block in the country, which would include the houses of worship, but we don't know what the parameters are going to be, what they're going to insist on for us to open. Certainly there'll probably be some distancing measures, but it'll be nice if they finally in the next week or two allow the houses of worship to start meeting again. Don't you agree?
Yeah, I agree. I think I'm expecting within the next within the next 2 to 3 weeks for sure we would know something. I guess I saw something maybe a couple of days ago that said they were hoping, you know, and obviously time will tell. This is Panama, but what they were hoping is a 10 to 14 or 10 to 16 day period between each block or between each stage of opening. And so it's been a week now for block one. So, you know, here in the next couple of weeks, I would be expecting that either block two has opened or we've got lots more information. And let's just briefly share, this isn't incredibly constructive. We can briefly share some of what we've heard about what that might look like.
Well, we were talking before we started the podcast, the Catholic bishops in the country who are very much involved with the federal government have already begun talking to their congregations and to their priests about when they reopen, there's going to be a need for social distancing, distance measures, capacity, limited capacity, and the bishops, Catholic bishops, are already preparing their individual congregations for the need for additional masses because of the capacity requirements they anticipate coming. I would imagine that they probably have far better inside knowledge than the average person in the country. So that's probably some of the things we're probably going to be looking at for all houses of worship.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you there. Seems like there's going to be a when we do reopen, it seems like it'll be limited in some sense. I've seen the number 40. I've seen 40 people. I've seen 25% capacity. I've seen 100 people, and that was earlier on. So I'm not expecting 100 people, but that would be praiseworthy for sure. That would make life a lot easier. So we will see. I think either way we slice it and dice it, there's going to be probably some degree of mask or gloves or, well, not gloves, but masks and distancing 6 feet apart. Seems like everything I've seen is involved the 6 feet apart, which is unfortunate, but it's that's, you know, logistically, that's not a nightmare. We can, you know, set chairs out and stuff like that. Number of people will be more challenging, but hopefully we'll know soon and we'll be able to share a little more information on that, maybe on the next podcast or the one after that.
And whatever it is, the Lord's going to lead us through it. So we're not going to worry about it.
Amen.
Faith in Action ministry is still ongoing. We're happy to say that most of the ministries are reporting that they've been given lots of support, which is very grateful. Praise God. We've been hearing this from the different ministries that they've been given a lot of support during this time of isolation. So that's a wonderful thing.
Amen. Absolutely.
Services, of course, we're still doing online, and hopefully we might have to do online, or at least to keep the services online and film them, depending on how the opening goes. So we'll just play that by ear.
I'm expecting we'll continue online for some time. So definitely that will definitely still be an option going forward. But Lord willing, you know, you'll be seeing us in the church, not in Brian's office and Tammy and her office and all that. Hopefully we'll be together.
I love Tammy singing, but they have a fourth member of that group that keeps coming into the songs. He screeches and screams, but he obviously enjoys the music because
he's praising God, isn't he?
That parrot is praising God continuously with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's kind of fun to listen to sometimes. The small groups are still ongoing with James Fuller on Tuesday evenings or Wednesday evenings, and the Thursday group on Zoom with that we're doing on the afternoon at 3:30. If anybody has any interest, again, we encourage everyone, more people to attend and get involved with Bible study and just fellowship. It's group get together. You can see people online, and it's just kind of fun to get together, and we joke around a lot as well. It's not just all study.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, let's see. Let's get into the spiritual gifts we're going to talk about today. I guess the first one, Brian, would be the gift of administration, which is the strength or ability to organize multiple tasks and groups of people to accomplish these tasks. So that's it's an organizational aspect. What do you think about this particular gift?
Well, I just want to preface, you know, lots of what we're going to say, you know, kind of the way we broke these gifts down or organized these gifts to present them on, you know, talk about them on podcasts is we kind of grouped similar ones together. And so we saw that, you know, we've seen that kind of every week. And this week is no exception. This week we're talking about administration, service, helps, and then faith. And for sure, administration, service, and helps all have some overlap. So I just want to preface that these are all kind of in the same ballpark. So administration, it's I want to define it by saying administrative tasks, and that's not a helpful definition, is it, Bob?
See administration tasks.
Exactly. Well, you know, I've always been told as a pastor that pastors need, they need certain giftings or certain abilities or strength skills, you know, skill sets, whatever. And administration has always been one of them. Obviously teaching and shepherding and leading in that sense is one of them as well. But there's a lot of administrative things. So there's, you know, you're writing things, not just writing sermons, but you're writing policies, you're writing emails, I'm printing bulletins and designing bulletins and, you know, a variety of other things, little things like that, that are administrative in nature. Lots of the stuff, Bob, that you do for us, you do a good bit on the financial side of things. We get monthly reportings, and then you do your magic through Excel and give us all some pretty looking stuff that makes it real easy. You also tend to do most of the legwork when we do congregational meetings. And so the handouts that we have and the displays that we have on the TV screen and, you know, Tammy putting together the lyrics for worship service. And by the way, is consuming an inordinate amount of time right now, because it's not just inserting here's the slides. It's you have to go into the video and manually put the lyrics on the screen of the video at the time you want it to be there, which is, you know, it's a headache. It's an administrative task that I do not want anything to do with. And I'm so grateful that she's doing it. She's doing a great job. And so I guess those are some examples in my mind of administrative tasks within the church. Beyond that, could, you know, you and Dale do some purchasing and some ordering for us. We've got Tamara. She also does some purchasing and ordering, you know, making sure we've got supplies on hand for the bathrooms, for the kitchens, making sure we've got communion supplies, cups, and, you know, stuff like that. There's a variety of administrative tasks, and it's incredibly necessary. And a lot of them, like we're going to talk about with some of these other gifts, and tend to go unnoticed, or you don't realize that there's so much of this going on behind the scenes, and yet it's vital. Without it, we'd be in trouble.
We see the earliest organization of the church in administering when we go to Acts 6, and we see the choosing of the seven, and how the apostles start to realize that, you know what, we've got so many people involved now with our church, and it's probably wonderful, it's probably filled with the Spirit, but it was starting to get very, very disorganized. You can kind of get that sense when you read these verses that they needed to have more organization. They needed to have people that could help with the planning, with the different tasks. And so,
and overwhelming.
It was overwhelming.
Overwhelming so for the shepherds, yeah.
Yeah, so you can see the original organization, how they, when they start bringing on the seven to become the first deacons. Mm-hmm. And then you get a good sense of it in Luke 14, when it says, which of you desiring to build a tower does not first sit down and count the cost? In other words, the planning stage.
Yeah.
Who just jumps into things? And so there's a lot of planning ability and organizational ability in this gift of administration.
Yeah, absolutely. And you see it, you know, one, I don't want to keep using examples of myself, but it's a good example. Back when I was executive pastor here some couple of years ago, did that for a couple of years. That was, executive pastor is a term that's not easily definable, but in some churches, it's a very, very heavy administrative role. And in our church, it was kind of split. I did quite a bit of administration, but I also did a good bit of teaching and leading as well, which fit my personality and my desires well. But it's a heavy administrative role. And, you know, I would say kind of the biggest, you know, if you say, well, who in the church, you know, as far as a position, whether they're paid or not, you know, kind of fits this, you know, any secretary, you know, church secretary, you know, is nails this, you know, they have to have this. And we did have, you know, before I came on executive pastor, we did have an administrative role that was a volunteer role that was filled by Jane. And she still does some of those things, like with our pictorial directory. And she's officially our accountant and does our reporting and things like that. So it's kind of all those skill sets that we're talking about go into this gift, which right. certainly bleed over into these other gifts that we're about to talk about, too.
They do. Should we move on to service?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, the gift of service is what is described as the strength or ability to do small or great tasks in working for the overall good of the body of Christ. And we might as well just tell everybody right off the bat that we struggled, and many people struggle. If you go yourself and try to Google and do some research on service and helps, you're going to find that there's not a very good distinction within the body of Christ, among theologians, among people who talk about these things, about how to differentiate these two. And they kind of bleed into each other, as Brian said at the start. But this one is the ability to do small or great tasks working for the overall good of the body of Christ. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, and I would just add, too, to what you just said, you know, it's not that you can't find any differentiation or distinction. It's just that, you know, you go look at 15 different people or articles or, you know, commentaries or whatever that kind of draw the line here, and the line is in a different place on every one of them. So there's just not a kind of natural uniform or agreed upon by the vast majority of people of kind of here's where these two kind of separate. There's quite a bit of overlap. And yet we're still going to share some examples of where we think service is and what we think helps is when we get to that here in just a minute. So
now, interesting Interesting thing is that the Greek word for service used in the Bible, diakonos, is the word that became the used for deacons mm-hmm. in the church. And it's used in Titus and Timothy. And so that is something that's specific to deacons itself.
Yeah, absolutely.
And a lot of people don't realize, they look at deacons, a lot of people think of deacons as, oh, well, they're leaders in the church. Well, deacons is really the ultimate service role in the church, the administration mm-hmm. of God's church, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And for sure, elders are called to be servants as well. I mean, that's what we are. We're servants and shepherds of the sheep, just as Jesus was. But yet, like you're saying, there's something special here where deacon is, like you said, it's an ultimate servant kind of role. And, you know, I think of people like, you know, obviously people that we've had as servants, you know, David Oldenburg and Jerry Gray, you know, I mean, just phenomenal. So, and there's a variety of people that, you know, are not deacons or have not been deacons, but still fit this role. You know, Robine, right. You know, Tammy's husband comes to mind. You know, he's doing everything he can. You know, he gets there early because of the worship team practicing, you know, prior to the lockdown, and he's sweeping and getting the front door, making sure there's not leaves in the way. And,
Olmedo does the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Olmedo does the exact same thing. He's in the back. He's helping out. He's gone out back and wiped off tables and, you know, preparing for the small group outside. And, you know, it's an ultimate servant role.
And, you know, some of the verses that describe the service role kind of also bleed into the helps role. You know, I mean, I was looking at some of the verses that describe helps, and you mind if I discuss helps for a second?
Go ahead. Yeah, we can cover.
Yeah, because you know the definition of the canned definition that you get about helps is to work in a supportive role for the accomplishment of tasks in the Christian ministry, with the ability to often see the need before others do it. And a lot of times, you and I were talking about this, that these can be, you know, very mundane, repetitive tasks that most people would just kind of shy away from, and yet people who have this gift of helps, you know, would gladly do it. You know, they're serving the Lord with a spirit of service. They, you know, they would do these mundane tasks that, you know, other people would just say, "Oh, you got to get me doing something else."
Yeah, exactly. They're kind of nailing what we talked about in the message this past Sunday, it seems like.
Yeah, exactly. And some of the great verses in the Bible talk about some of the women who followed the apostles and all of the detailed work that they would do in helping them and helping that ministry so that they could continue in their work of founding the church. Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, Tabitha from Joppa. I mean, there were some great servants who not only were helps, but they probably were also involved in the service role aspect as well.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, back to the struggle to differentiate these two, it's, you know, I'm sure you've seen this in your research, and this is, you know, some of what I've seen is some people, not everybody, kind of make the differentiation here as service is service, the way we've talked about it, and helps is service in a way, in a very specific way that frees others up for ministry. And so using the examples that you just did, helps would be specifically what the tasks or the things that those women did that enabled then those apostles or those teachers to go teach. And so sometimes it's almost seen as like a teacher helper kind of role, a helper, you know, you're getting notes ready for class, you're passing out the, you know, you're doing things that enable the other person, the teacher or the leader or the apostle or, you know, whatever it is, to do their role better. So there's some that define a differentiation there where service is cleaning the bathroom and it's got nothing to do with enabling me to preach on Sunday, but somebody who's taking care of the bulletins, for example, or passing out the notes or, you know, stuff like that, that's enabling me to really focus on what God's got me to do. That's where some people draw the line. And so I think the examples you just used there were really good. I would also add, with gift of service here, Bob, that in Romans 14, you know, we talked, man, I can't remember, a couple of weeks ago, well, a few weeks ago now, but one of 16 times in the entire Bible was with that we see well-pleasing, that the Lord is well-pleased. We see that rendition in the Bible. was with one that we talked about on Sunday was children obeying their parents in a very specific way. And so it's interesting to me that we see in Romans 14, in fact, it's talked about that serving Christ when we serve the Lord, he's well pleased. It's well pleasing to him to serve him in this fashion. And so kind of this gift of service in my mind is, it's real important to the Lord. And it's almost one it's not a lesser gift, but it's one that has the potential to go unnoticed or not be elevated, not get lots of attention. And yet it's the only one that I'm aware of that has well-pleasing attached to it, to the Lord.
Okay. So we have our challenge now for all of those of you listening, our challenge this week, because even theologians, when we research this, struggle to differentiate between service and help. So here's your challenge. Take a look at these two gifts for us, review it in the Bible, and get back to Brian and I and give us your opinion on what you see is the difference between helps and service, some examples. This would be an excellent challenge for you. I mean, during this time of isolation, help us out here, because it's an interesting one. There's no question that the Bible lists helps and service as two different spiritual gifts.
Yeah.
So help us out and tell us what you think.
Yeah. Well, before we move on to covering helps a little more in depth, what would be some examples of service in our church? More examples than we've already covered, I guess. And what are some ways that people can serve in the church?
Well, we've talked about this. We've mentioned it even in not just congregational meetings, but just in some of the announcements, that every church out there has a need for people to involve themselves. You know, part of I see it, and we've talked about this in the past, is just me personally, that we as Christians, our primary house of worship that we go to, in my opinion, we have a spiritual obligation to utilize our time, our talents, and our finances, and the assistance of that church to help the Lord in preaching, in worshiping, and in sharing the good news of the gospel. And so it's not just one thing. The Lord wants us involved. That's my opinion. He wants us involved in time, talents, and our finances in his churches.
Sure.
And so there's so much that can be done in churches, from helping set up the church, to cleaning the church, to passing out flyers, to being greeters, to helping to keep contact with those who have kind of fallen away. Mm-hmm. With accounting, with cleaning, with doing announcements, you could just go on and on and on.
Yeah.
A church has so many necessities that could be utilized in Bible, in teaching, in utilizing your home for groups. I mean, I don't have a list in front of me, but if I thought about it, you know what I'm saying. There's a lot out there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and there's no shortage of places that they can, and virtually everything, we're not, basically everything you just listed would, almost kind of be a need at our church in a sense. We're not, turning people away because we got too many people serving and nowhere to use them, right? We certainly have areas that people can serve. And to me, the best, I don't want to rank anything, but having a heart that says, I really just want to serve in a church, and maybe saying, here's what I think my spiritual gifts are and here's some of my strengths, but how can I serve? That is just so rare to have people say, I don't care a whole lot what I do. Maybe here's some of my preference, or here's some of my experience, or here's, some things that I excel at. But ultimately, I just want to fill a need in the church. What can I do? How can I help? How can I serve the Lord in this local body? That mentality I find is rare. And I'm always blown away when you find, I don't even have that mentality all the time. And so, when we find people that have that mentality, it's encouraging isn't the right word. It certainly is encouraging, but it just kind of blows me away because right. it's so rare. And so, yeah, there's so many places we can serve. And if somebody came and said, I'd really like to serve, but I really only want to serve in kind of these skill sets, it's unlikely that we would not have something for them. There's basically something for everybody. And I think we could find that. I think that's what God wants. God wants us to be involved. He wants us to be serving him, not just serving the church, not just serving church leaders, not just, basically everything we talked about on Sunday. It's all ultimately serving him, and seeking to please him and honor him and glorify him in everything that we do.
Well said. All right. Well, the last gift that we have.
I don't feel like we finished helps, did we?
I thought we did.
Well, I was still on service, but you did. I think you covered the definition well. There's an example that I feel like God really wants us to use here.
Oh, okay. I am remiss. What did I miss?
Well, two examples. One that I think involves you that'll be really helpful, but that we talked about before, and then another one that involves.
Oh, well, about me. Now I know why I wanted to move on.
Yeah. You didn't want this example, but we're going to use it. No, you said earlier, you know, helps. In some level, it kind of falls into service. You know, it's there's so much overlap, but the way I've seen it is helps involves more mundane tasks, more repulsive, maybe. I'm not sure if repulsive is the right word, but it's just tedious is probably a better word. It's a job that people, it's not necessarily repulsive in that it's like it's a stinky, dirty bathroom and I don't want to clean it, because that's, I don't think that it's limited to that. But it's like, okay, you know, something that's, you know, the example I'm going to use here is with the Seder dinner. You know, so lots of you listening were probably here back in 2018, you know, so 2 years ago, this year, we did the Seder dinner at the church. And to prepare for that, we had different teams that were serving, different teams that were helping get ready throughout the day. And for any of you who have ever been or were at it that time, you know that, you know, the tables have to be set up just right, just perfect. The ingredients, all the different things on the, you know, and I don't know everything about the Seder dinner. I mean, I was there, but, you know, the different plates and the different, the cups and the way, you know, everything is set up so meticulously, you know, according to the word. I mean, it's very perfectionist in a sense. I mean, it's required. And so it's very meticulous, mundane in a sense, but meticulous for sure. And I'm saying, you know, Bob, share some of your perspective there on kind of how, you know, because I see Bob as an incredible servant. I think Bob he loves to serve the Lord. He loves to serve others. So share some of your perspective concerning the Seder dinner.
Now I remember why I was trying to get past this one and getting to the last gift of faith. Yeah, I was hoping this was a little embarrassing because I was trying to help, and I'm not into the tedious and the minutia like that. And the Seder dinners, as Brian said, have to be set specifically. So I kept putting stuff down and laying stuff on the table, and these women kept coming up. No, not like that. No, not like that. And finally, they just sort of ushered me out of the room. It was rather embarrassing. And Dale said, Bob, why don't you go work on the outside? You know, the women were actually going to my wife to see if they could get me out of the room, because it had to be done in a particular manner, and I was simply not attuned to that, apparently, and it was not my gift.
Yeah, and I remember it. I remember us serving there, and I don't remember you. Your mentality was not a flagrant disrespect or, you know, disconcern for the way it had to be. It's just this. You know, I'm not real good at this, and this is just not how God has wired me. And, you know, I can set up the table and I can set up the chairs and I'll put tablecloths on here and I'll, you know, I'll move boxes and heavy things and I'll serve dinner onto people's plates and I'll help clean and, you know, I'll sweep and on and on and on. I'll do all those things. But you want me to set the cups up on this exact space and you want this here and that there and this, you know, that just doesn't work, you know? And so, and I would say I'm very, very similar in that regard. I do not enjoy mundane tasks. And yet I would say, you know, my wife, Rachel, I think Rachel has the gift of helps. Rachel will do some of these things in a way that would just, you know, it's like, God, I have our struggle to do what we talked about on Sunday, doing it unto the Lord, you know, with great joy and glorifying him and pleasing him and everything with the right perspective when it comes to this kind of stuff. You know, it's like, golly, this just frustrates me. You know, I don't want to do this. This is just, this makes me want to pull my hair out. And yet she can do these kinds of things. And, you know, it's a totally different mindset. I think your wife is kind of similar. And they're really able to do it well.
Right. All right.
Faith, last one.
Can I get past this embarrassing example you just gave and get to the last gift
of faith? It's not embarrassing, Bob. You did a great. Everybody knows you're a wonderful servant, a wonderful shepherd. So let's talk about faith.
Yeah, you know, we struggle with this, the gift of faith, a little bit in trying to, because at first glance, when people see this and say, what do you mean the gift of faith? The first thing they're going to think in their mind is, I thought we all had to have faith. I mean, without faith, we're not saved. And that is a gift from God, so that no man, not by works, so that no man can boast. Mm-hmm. And that it's God's gift to everyone. And so what do you mean the gift of faith? Because when you think of spiritual gifts, you're thinking of something special, especially attuned to the different individuals in order to help with the edification and the building of the body of Christ. And so what is this gift of faith that's special in comparison to the normal gift of faith that all believers have to have? And when talking about this, we were saying, well, this is something more. This is something far and away above the normal gift of faith that all believers have. It's something that allows a person to believe in the miraculous that can happen now. It's a far superior gift of faith that God gives some people who just have a level of faith that allows them to believe that unbelievable supernatural things can happen in the here and now. I don't know. Am I explaining this well? You want to jump in here?
I think you're doing a good job. I wouldn't say it's necessarily got to be supernatural, but it's things like you said. It's, you know, when we talked about this to beforehand, you know, I used the word confidence. I think the word confidence here is critical. You know, I'll come back again to more on what this is not, but you know, it's somebody who's got an unusual. Or like we've talked about the last several weeks, or like an extra dose or an extra measure of faith. And so when we're thinking, you know, help my unbelief, that doesn't mean that I'm an unbeliever and that I'm unsaved because I'm not believing in God or believing that he's able to do certain things. I do believe that God is God, and I do believe that God is able to do all things. And yet there's plenty of times where I don't have, you could say I don't have the faith, or I'm saying I think it's unlikely that God's going to do this. I think he could, you know, I know he could. I just don't have great confidence that he's going to do this. And so then, you know, I'm saying the person with the gift of faith would not share that mentality at all. They would say, no, God is going to do this. I mean, and I wouldn't say, you know, I want to be careful because the gift of faith is not unrealistic optimism. You know, there's some people that would fall into that category. And I'm saying that's not what faith means. It's just a confidence. It's an unusual confidence in God. And so,
I like that explanation, an unusual confidence in God.
Yeah. And so one of the examples I used with you, you know, that we talked about before is, this is an extreme example, but it still illustrates the example. Let's say there's, you know, we get major persecution where people are getting their heads cut off for being Christians here in Boquete or anywhere, you know, certainly persecution like that is going to come one day. And has, you know, it's not new, it's been around and that's happening in different places of the world right now. And so, you know, you could apply this to a certain place where those kinds of things are happening now. If we got a group of people, you know, 10 of us here, we're lined up, we're all about to get our heads cut off, and all we got to do is renounce the faith and then kind of recite these things about, you know, Allah or, you know, whatever to avoid having our heads cut off. You know, our flesh really wants to just kind of renounce the faith and then, you know, to self-preservation. And that would be an incredibly... it would be a huge temptation. It would be incredible trials, an incredible trial for us in that moment. And I'm saying, you know, I believe in that moment, God would either for myself, you know, or for you, for us who are going through it, or for at least somebody in the presence of, you know, God's going to give them, if they don't already have, the gift of faith. And so they're going to, in a way, they're going to be able to kind of encourage and embolden others to stand for the faith and to endure even the most extreme example I can come up with to endure such a thing. You know, you used the example of Stephen earlier. I think of Stephen when he's standing there, you know, being stoned to death, and Jesus, you know, stands up, the only time he's ever stood up from the right hand of God, and smiles upon Stephen who's being stoned to death, and Stephen smiles looking at Jesus. That's just that, you know, there's something supernatural there. Where, you know, Stephen had an extra measure of faith and, I mean, an extra measure of belief. He knew he had confidence. And so that's kind of the way I see this, is this extra measure. Bob, do you want to add to that?
Yeah, I think the there's a lot of good examples in the Old Testament of faith and the New Testament, but I like the examples of Abraham. You know, in Romans 4, it says how Abraham, in hope, he believed against hope that he would become the father of many nations. I mean, he had an extra measure of faith. He was told he was going to be the father of all nations.
Yeah. I like the old believed against hope. That's incredibly unusual and incredibly confident.
It is. I like it where it says that, you know, by faith in Hebrews, it says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. I mean, that's an extra measure of faith. Okay.
And so this situation, Bob, just to elaborate, I know we don't want to spend all day here, but, you know, God makes promise that he's going to have a son. And then he's saying, okay, well, this is my son. You know, how could you possibly, you know, maintain your promise and, you know, give me the inheritance that you've talked about and give me the ancestry in a sense that you've talked about where I'm going to be the father of nations. How's that going to work? You know, if I kill my son, you know, if I sacrifice him here, and yet he says, you know, I don't understand. And yet I'm willing to do it. I mean, that's an incredible level of faith and confidence in God to keep his promises.
It really is. And I while we don't think about it often, all of the apostles that went to martyrdom had that extra measure of faith. Mm.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think this is one where I think there's people that naturally have this, like they have the gift of teaching, for example, but it's also one with others where I think when the need is there, I think the Holy Spirit will provide it. And so, you know, if we're in, like, using the extreme example that I used earlier, you know, I think if I'm somebody or if you're somebody who's not prone to necessarily having the gift of faith, I think the Holy Spirit's going to do some things. You know, I'm expecting God is going to do some things in that moment because, you know, he's not going to let me fall away. He's not going to let me renounce the faith. He's going to keep me safe and secure, which gets into a different doctrine we won't talk about right now, but he's going to keep me. And I think one of the ways that he'll do that is he's going to use the power of his Holy Spirit to give us a gift of faith, to give us a confidence and a strength to be able to endure in a way that I might not be able to endure or sure don't feel that I can endure right now, but in that moment, I'll be able to because of his empowering.
And as we're wrapping up the last of these spiritual gifts, because this will be our last week on spiritual gifts, it's important to remember that as you grow in the Spirit and as you age in life and grow in the Spirit and mature through sanctification, that your spiritual gifts can change.
Sure.
You may have had one spiritual gift at age 20. You may have another spiritual gift the Lord may give you in a different season in your life when you're in your 50s or 60s. And so you just kind of keep that in mind. Do you agree with that?
You know, I don't feel strongly on that one way or the other. What I would say is let's not put God in a box. Let's not assume that because I'm 20, you know, when I was 20, you know, I took some test and somebody told me I had the gift of mercy, that therefore I can't be used to teach or to serve or to, you know, all these other types of things that could be going on. Because we've talked about what, near 20 gifts at this point. I mean, let's not assume that because God's used me this way in the past, he won't use me in a different way in the future or won't use me in a different way now. You know, God can do that. And I do think there's some degree, I want to be careful with how we present this, but I think there's some degree of, I liken it to the way the Holy Spirit, you know, descended upon people in the Old Testament. You know, they didn't have the Holy Spirit indwelling in them. The Holy Spirit came on them, enabled them to do a task or enabled them for a time, and then would come off of them. And Bob's getting to see my fun hand motions right now and nobody else is, but you know, that's how we see it. And so in a sense, that's almost how I see a possibility for some of these gifts to function.
That's exactly what I was getting to. I also want to encourage people that, you know, and a lot of Christians have taken these spiritual gift tests. And I think in some ways they can be almost debilitating because they kind of put you in a box, right? And I don't really think that's the way the Lord wants us to operate.
Yeah. Well, and these tests are, you know, they're good hearted, good motives, you know, et cetera, but there is no, you know, let's kind of check these boxes and go through these, you know, God doesn't give us a test like that. You know, so it's a human way of doing the best of our ability to try to figure it out, but it's flawed.
And then I want to also, before we close on this, I want to also exhort people that regardless of what your spiritual gifts are, it doesn't mean you shouldn't have a willingness at, during times of difficulty within the church to do whatever is necessary, to pitch in wherever is necessary to help a church during short-term needs.
Absolutely. Okay?
I mean, the person who has a spiritual gift of evangelism shouldn't be afraid to say, well, the church has a need to help set up chairs, and so I'm going to help for the next 3 weeks to set up chairs. Right. That's different than spiritual gifts. We should all have the willingness to help in our Lord's church or to help in ways that are outside of our spiritual gifts during short-term times of need.
Yeah, I would say that goes, you're absolutely right. That goes beyond spiritual gifts, and that's just a sacrificially serving. And Christ calls every single one of us to a sacrificial servanthood to others and to our church. And obviously we thrive and do our best when we're functioning in the ways or in the skill sets that God's enabled us and within our gifting. But that does not mean, you know, for example, you functioned in the children's ministry for a time when we were kind of birthing it and getting it ready, and you took the lead on all of it. And so there's times, you know, and you were saying, I cannot do this forever. This is not me. I don't want anything to do with this, you know, but I'm willing to serve in this capacity while it's a need for a short period of time. I think that was a great example, Bob, where you did exactly, you know, what you did practice what you're preaching here. Before we conclude, I think you did a good job. I just want to reiterate on the faith one. You said this. I just want to make sure people hear this. We are making a clear distinction here between the spiritual gift of faith and the gift of faith that is talked about in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, and obviously way beyond that, but that's an overt verse that you quoted. That gift, when we're saved, when God regenerates us, he literally gives us the faith to believe. If God did not give us faith, we would not believe. We would remain in unbelief and would be spiritually dead. And yet he gives us faith by his grace. It's a gift. We don't earn it. He gives it to us. He gives us faith so that we can believe in him and be saved in the way that we are. So that faith is, it's not totally different, but there's a distinction here. It's that's every single believer that's ever existed has received by grace that gift of faith.
It's salvational.
Exactly. And yet this one that we're talking about here with the spiritual gift is it's an extra measure. It's an extra dose. It's an extra amount. It's an unusual confidence and so forth. It's a different thing. And so I just don't want, it's similar words. We're saying gift of faith in both of them. And yet it's almost two totally different things. And so I just want to, you know, I want that to be real clear what we're talking about and what we're not.
All right. Well, all of you listening out there, that ends and finishes up our podcast series on spiritual gifts. We are not quite sure yet. We're thinking of a few things for next week and what we're going to go into next. If you have any ideas, we encourage you to please share those ideas with us. We'd love to hear from you, especially if you have just any questions you want us to discuss, biblical questions or items you wish us to discuss, please share those with us. We're open to all of those things in our podcast. And I want to reiterate that for all of you out there. Do you have anything final to add, Brian, before we go to prayer?
Have you had anybody send in any questions to you recently or topics, concepts?
No, I have not. Not recently, no.
I haven't either. So, I just want to reiterate, you know, we, Bob and I's preference here, you know, and I know I'm preaching to the choir because the same, you know, 20 people are listening to this probably, but Bob and I, you know, our preference would not be that we kind of have to figure out what we're going to talk about each week. Our preference would be that God would lead what we're going to discuss through our sheep by sharing with us suggestions, ideas, preferably questions. And Bob and I are not opposed to being slapped with really hard questions. And then, you know, having us tackle that, you know, we're okay with that. That would be our preference. So if you have questions, theological questions, Bible questions, et cetera, that's what we would love to tackle. If not, God is good and he's going to lead us. And we've already got some ideas, and we'll be back next week with something different.
All right. I'm going to go ahead then and close this with prayer, brother.
Very good. That'll be good. And we'll wrap it up.
All right. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this time together and the ability to talk about these spiritual gifts that you have given to your people. You have endowed each one of us, Lord, with gifts to help edify, to help build up, to help spread your word and your message throughout the world. Lord, we pray that you You help each of us to understand these gifts and be able to utilize them in the building of your church, Lord, in the servicing of your word, in the ministering and the comfort of others in Christ. And we just thank you for this time together. We thank you for the people who are in our church. We ask you to continue to bless our church, Father, during this time of isolation. We ask you to lift us all up, encourage us, and to just make this a time when your word and your grace exceeds and excels throughout this community here in Boquete. We pray for all this, Lord, in the name of your glorious Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much, Bob. This has been a fun time, and it's been an enjoyable series here the last 4 or 5 weeks on spiritual gifts, and I look forward to what God has for us next.
All right. Well, you take care, brother.
All right. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.